Good morning. I want to talk to you this morning about a truly scary book by a master of mysteries, Tana French, and her very latest novel, The Witch Elm, though it should really be spelled W-Y-C-H, Elm, which is the name of a European elm, and the etymology of which is traced not to back to scary witches, but to the word bendable. Not sure why French or her editors decided to change it to W-I-T-C-H, perhaps because it sounds more frightening. I actually have a backlog of books I want to review, but having finished them weeks ago and memory not being my strong suit, I decided instead to talk about this just-finished mystery. I have to admit I'm happy to be out of its clutches. French's plots are so twisted and complex and her character so convincing that the book had a sort of stranglehold on me. I had to finish it quickly in order to get out from under its gloom. However, because it is such a wonderfully wrought novel, I cannot reveal much of the plot at all without spoiling the intricacy of the book. As one commentator puts it, due to her ingenious plotting, quote, make only one assumption. All of your initial assumptions are wrong, close quote. I can tell you that in the early pages of the novel, Hugo, the lead character, is surprised by burglars in his house and beaten almost to death, a skull fracture, jaw fracture, and many broken ribs. He awakens after many days to the sounds of machines beeping, wires attached to him seemingly everywhere, and with very little memory of either the events that put him in the hospital or, truthfully, of much of anything else. He does recognize his girlfriend, Melissa, his parents, and his two best friends, but with a drooping eyelid, a shuffling gait, and a deep sense of chaos and confusion, he cannot recognize himself as the person he was before the beating. Quoting from the book, I was aware that I was in big trouble here, but there didn't seem to be any way out. At the dark heart of the horror was the knowledge that it was inescapable. The thing I couldn't bear wasn't burglars or blows to the head, wasn't anything I could beat or evade or set up defenses against. It was myself, whatever that had become. Close quote. Hugo, being an only child, has never known the joys of siblings, but he does have two cousins, Susanna and Leon, with whom he is very close, and whom he shared summers and holidays with at their Uncle Hugo's house, the Ivy House, they call it, which is also the home of the Witch Elm. Hugo is almost better than parents because he pretty much gives his nephews and niece free rein and turns a blind eye to their parties with friends, and yet he is also a kind and wise protector. While recuperating at the Ivy House with his uncle and Melissa, his memory slowly begins to return and his many wounds slowly heal. But of course, French has much more in store for us. The death of a friend of the three cousins years before suddenly comes again to the fore, and since Hugo's very spotty memory leaves him pretty much defenseless against suspicions of others regarding the circumstances of that death, he comes to doubt his own nature and his own capacities. Quoting again from the book, I had never been cruel before, never, even in school where I had been one of the cool kids and could have got away with anything. I had never once bullied anyone. Finding myself doing it now gave me a rush of savage, breathless glee and of wretchedness. Glee because it was a new weapon, although I'm not sure how exact it was supposed to protect me. Next time I ran into burglars, I could flay them with sarcasm, I suppose. And wretchedness because I had liked being a kind person, and now I couldn't find any way back to that. It seemed lost for good in some dark expanse of smoking rubble, and altogether by the time my mother left every day, she and I were exhausted. Close quote. While the sarcasm and unkindness are originally directed only at his mother, with whom up to his hospitalization he had been exceptionally close, when he begins living with his uncle and his beloved in the Ivy House, his attitude begins to make itself known with his cousins, aunts, and uncles as well. No longer can he see himself as a kind person, and he soon has very little idea of who he really is. Quote, that guy whom I had every right to be and who was gone for good, left behind on the other side of that unbreakable sheet of glass, and whereas in the hospital I had been able to tell myself that things would be better once I was home, now that that had turned out not to be true, I couldn't find any reason to think that anything would get any better. Close quote. Although there are some pretty awful events in this story, the really terrifying parts have to do with the state of mind of Hugo and his attempts to somehow wrestle some order into his fragmented memories. He needs to find himself, or create at any rate some semblance of the man he used to be. As Hugo cares for his uncle, who is dying of an inoperable brain tumor, both seem to be lost in shadow worlds. Typical of French, there are several places in the novel where she seems to hold out some promise for Hugo and for her poor readers, but each time it is dashed by some new twist. Only the scrap heap of his memory seems to offer any hope of health and redemption. Quote, I had no idea which snippets were memory and which stemmed from some dark hallucinatory process deeper than imagination, involuntary and uncontrollable, simmering with a power and a reality all its own. Close quote. I'm a bit hesitant to recommend this novel only because the web of confusion and strangled memories are so haunting. And as I mentioned, I yearned for release from French's incredible imagination long before the end of the novel came. No two of her mysteries are alike, and this, I think, ranks as the strangest of all. Stephen King says of it, terrific, terrifying, amazing, and the prose is incandescent, close quote. Just so, I have been talking about Tana French's The Witch Elm. This is Larry Bolden for the Old Mole Variety Hour.